You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition, and we have some news, actually several big stories. I think the biggest one that probably won't get that much attention, they'll mention it. And I had it as the last story, but I bumped it up to the first story because I really think it is just a symptomatic of what's going wrong in this country. The national debt has now officially exceeded over $22 trillion. Are you shocked? No. It keeps going up, up, and up. I suggest you go to the U.S. real-time debt clock and just see how the numbers quickly go up. It's estimated that this year alone, this fiscal year alone, that ends in the end of September, the deficit, in other words, we spend more money than we collect in all taxes, in other words, we have to borrow, will be somewhere between $800 and $900 billion on the low side, and some would say it could be over $1 trillion in just one fiscal year. No one knows the number. They're hard to estimate anyway, because you're trying to estimate tax receipts against government spending, and it's the receipt side that's really difficult. Obviously, if the economy is booming, growing at 4, 5, 6%, business is good, unemployment's down, government receipts are up. Conversely, if the economy should go into recession, and there are people now that are predicting either now or next year, my own sense is I don't think it'll be this year, but it very likely could be next year. Who knows? My crystal ball is no better than anybody else's. But it looks like we're headed for another massive deficit, and I think it just will get bigger and bigger, because the biggest driver of these deficits is really the consequences, the long-range consequences of what I call Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me, and I'll give you some free stuff. In this case, what's the free stuff? The free stuff is Social Security benefits and Medicare, and that message has resonated with the American people, and right now, at one time, socialized medicine was a no-no. Now we accept Medicare like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but it's in financial trouble. And the same with Social Security. It was a way to get votes. And the Democrats have done it, and so have the Republicans. It's not confined to either political party. Although I will say the leaders of this approach, and they're still going strong, are the Democrats. The reason it's successful is we have people that don't see through the scam, and it is a scam, who ultimately has to pay for this. You and I have to pay for this. There's no such thing as government money. The government, every year, is transferring money from one group of people to another group of people. In the case of Social Security and Medicare, when you're working, and most Americans work for 40 years or more, that's assuming they start either in their late teens or early 20s, they're going to work to age 65, most likely, 66, some longer, some shorter, depends how successful you are. And every time you work, your employer, whoever your employer is, will take out of your check what's called payroll taxes. But it's your tax to pay for Social Security, Medicare, and disability. And it happens every paycheck. And it's your share, and it's also the employer has to pay a share. But keep in mind, if the employer did not have to pay your share of Social Security and Medicare, you would have, most of you would have more money in your paycheck. Now, some employers might keep it. So don't be fooled by this, well, the employer pays half, you pay half. No, you pay the whole thing. But who is it paying? Because both Social Security and Medicare are what's called pay-as-you-go system. It was set up as a pay-as-you-go system. And the people that are working today pay for those that are collecting both Social Security and Medicare. That's the way it is. Now, more and more young people are questioning whether they, by the time they get to collect their Social Security or Medicare, will it be around? Or if it is around, what type of benefit will it have to be? If we keep the current income tax system, and that's one of the reasons I'm heavily advocate we go to a broad-based consumption tax, but that's another show. But our tax system is such that if we were to try to get both Social Security and Medicare on a sound basis, one or two or both would have to happen. Either we have to dramatically increase the payroll taxes, more or less double them. That's not popular. Or we would have to cut benefits by at least 20%. That's not popular. And politicians are not noted for doing unpopular things. Far from it. They stay away from it. That's why in the past shows that I did on President Trump's State of the Union message, you note it, he never covered this, that the fact that we, the American people, together with our government, has been spending way beyond the means of American citizens to support the government. And as a result, we've had to borrow money, and we're borrowing it, for example, to pay the Social Security and Medicare benefit. And it's going to get worse, worse, worse as the baby boom generation approaches the age where they would qualify for both. That normally is 66, 67. Now, some people retire early and decide to collect their benefits starting at age 62. It's a reduced amount. You have a few people that wait beyond that and collect it later. They get a bigger amount, but if you die, you don't get anything but a survivor's benefit, an insurance amount. Not much. So the national debt is going to go up, up, and up. And I said, if Trump is elected for a second term, I think by the time he leaves office, the national debt will be probably over $30 trillion. Doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, because neither the Democrats or Republicans are going to do the right thing and really put Social Security and Medicare on an actuarially sound basis. Ultimately, this does not end well. There will be a financial crisis. And I think you'll have means testing for both Medicare and Social Security. I don't think that's right, because means testing means if you do the right thing and save your money and you don't really need Social Security or Medicare, that you won't get your benefits or you get a significantly reduced amount because you have income that they will say more than gives you enough money to live on and pay your medical bills. That's not going to be a very pleasant situation, because why are you penalizing people that are financially responsible and put money aside? And yes, why they might not need Social Security or Medicare, they've paid in it for 40, maybe 50 years. Politics is going to get very, very interesting in the 2020s and the 2030s. The fact that the national debt is over $22 trillion should not surprise you, but what you need to understand, we have a political class, and it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans, they're doing absolutely nothing about it. That's why it's called the third rail. What I'm talking about are entitlement programs. It's called the third rail of politics, and why, in my mind, out-of-control government spending is the number one problem. It's seldom talked about really seriously. What are we talking about instead? Whether or not we should shut the government down. As far as I'm concerned, you should downsize the federal government, which means permanently closing departments. Is anyone proposing that? No. Democrats aren't. Neither are Republicans. Oh, you might have one or more candidates for president, whether they be Republicans or Democrats, might propose that one or two departments be shut down. But we're in such financial straits, that's not going to make much of a dent, because you need to go where the money is. And the money is in entitlement programs and in welfare programs. Those are the two big categories. The third category is national defense. And yeah, you could cut there, and I think you should cut there, but it depends whether you're a Democrat or Republican and how much is adequate military or defense spending. You'll get a big argument on that. And the fourth big category, and this will be going up, up, and up, is interest. interest on the national debt. And what I see happening is politicians will do nothing. They will do nothing. They call it kicking the can down the road because they figure they can get out of Washington, D.C. before it really becomes a problem. Well, many of them already have. Many of them are being buried, but many others retire. And the problem has really been one that's taken over 70 years to truly to create, 70, 80 years. So many of the people that created the problem are long gone. Now, clearly, the early beneficiaries of Social Security and Medicare, your grandparents, your parents, benefited. That's why I call it an intergenerational Ponzi scheme. In a Ponzi scheme, it's the early investors that benefit. The people that are late into the Ponzi scheme, they lose their money. That's why many young people today in their 20s and 30s look ahead and say, wait a minute. If Social Security and Medicare are in such trouble now, where's it going to be in 40 years? And why am I continually putting money into something that's essentially not financially sound? Even though it's not financially sound, it's one of the most popular programs. Social Security is, and so is Medicare. The benefits far exceed what people put into it. And that's it in a nutshell. The government didn't invest your money. They spent your money. At one time, Social Security had huge surpluses, and what happened? They spent them. Oh, they wrote an IOU, but that's nice. That's sort of a notation, but it wasn't invested in anything that's worth anything. Now, you might say, okay, they spent it on, when I say spent, I mean government spending. They spent it on something that we still get benefits from. Okay, I can see that point. But it's not actuarially sound. You're not getting any returns on it, and because of that alone, you can't pay benefits that are going up. Every year they go up. Not a lot, but enough. What's been in the news? Has this story been in the news? No. Other than the national debt, no one's talking about it. What are they talking about instead? Whether or not the Republicans and Democrats in the House have come up with a good or bad deal, and remember what President Trump wanted, still wants, was $5.7 billion funding in this fiscal year to build, in my mind, at most, it would build 300 miles. Now, I think that's high. I think it's more like 200, 250, but just to put it in context. In last show, I made the point, the U.S.-Mexican border, which is roughly 2,000 miles, you have existing fence that stops humans of 350 miles. You have about 150 miles of what President Trump calls natural borders or barriers. What it is rather a remote wilderness, rugged territory that most people don't use to try to break into the United States. So of the 2,000-mile border, subtract 350 miles of existing fence designed to slow down or stop human beings from invading the country, and another 150 miles of remote, rural, wilderness area. So that leaves 1,500 miles that need a border barrier. And I estimated it probably costs $30 million because it's not enough just to have the fence. You need a road because fences don't arrest people. They don't apprehend or detain people. Human beings do. The U.S. Border Patrol does. So the U.S. Border Patrol has to get to the point of where the illegal alien is breaking in and then apprehend them. That takes time because we have a long border. A lot of it is in the boondocks. It's wilderness. Desert, a lot of it is desert. And while we do have some barriers, fence, 350 miles, and that's for humans, we have another roughly 300 miles that are designed to stop vehicles. But the vehicle barriers, it's very easy for a human being to either go over them or under them. So I don't count the 300 miles as a human barrier. Now, one place to start, and it's easy to make the case, you already have those vehicle barriers, and this is being done, build a fence, a border barrier wall, whatever you want to call it, right there that stops human beings. And that would be roughly 300 miles. And that would cost about $6 billion, very close to the $5.7 billion that Trump is expecting. That's a start, and it is being done to a certain extent. But Congress won't give Trump a penny for any new border barrier. That's the stumbling block. And it's not in interest of the Democrats or the Democratic Party to do that because they want all the illegal aliens that are here, as well as any illegal aliens that get in from now to hundreds of years from now, to become citizens. And as long as people that want to come here, and there are at least 200 to 300 million people that if they could, would come to the United States. It's a long line of people that if they had the opportunity, would jump at it. But the people that are closest to the United States, namely those in Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, about half come to the United States by crossing into the U.S.-Mexican border. And they see and know that what has the United States government done in the past? It's rewarded those that have got in and work in the United States with citizenship. That's what happened when we had a bipartisan immigration reform bill under President Reagan, even though in retrospect, Ronald Reagan realized this was probably one of his biggest mistakes, because while we did give citizenship then to not quite 3 million, 2.7 million, what didn't happen is we didn't stop the invasion. See, that was the wrong message to give, because that tells people that are still in whatever country they're in, if I can get to the United States, work, I too could get citizenship sometime in the future. And because of that, over the last 33 years, you've had millions of people doing exactly that, coming into the country illegally, working. They do it by first finding fraudulent documents, Social Security cards, driver's license, birth certificate. They work here, and not all of them stay. I'd say 30% or more go home, wherever home is. But the majority do stay. They like it here, want to stay, and they're living, working, and their children are going to our public schools. They're going to our emergency rooms and community hospitals. And yes, you have some bad apples that commit crimes that are in our jails and in prison. So we see that the Congress, especially Democrats, they no longer really care much about the American worker, because it is the American worker that's most affected by what's happening in the immigration area. They're more concerned about illegal aliens because it's their way to power, not only to stay in power, but to stay in power for many years in the future. So they don't want to give a penny to build this wall, because that would stop, or at least slow down, the flow of illegals into the country. So when you vote Democrat, for sure, what you're doing is voting against your own interest, because whether the number of illegals is 30 million or 60 million, whatever number it is, they're competing with American citizens, American workers, in the job market. That's what's happening. And to the extent that the illegals get the jobs, and they do, there are many, many industries, they definitely suppress hourly wages, salary wages. And that's why, until really only very recently, the household income has been either declining or very flat, because you have an inflow over those 33 years of millions, actually tens of millions of illegals that are competing directly with American citizens. So that's the Democratic Party. Their calculation is that once they are in power and can give citizenship to all the illegals, that they will stay in power for many, many decades to come. And I think they're right. Only if the American people rise up and really throw out Democrats and Republicans and elect people of a new party that oppose illegal aliens being rewarded with citizenship. That's the only way you're going to stop them. If you continue to vote Democrat, the Democratic Party has sold out its voter base. That's the long and short of it. Doesn't matter if you're black, Hispanic, or white. That's the bottom line. They're more concerned about illegals, not because they really care about them, but they want their votes. And we're talking a lot of votes. Now, you're going to get an argument as to how many are here. I'll just tell you there's somewhere between 30 and 60 million. I don't have a clue as to exactly what the number is, but I know it's that large. It's not 10 or 11. And why I say that is if the Democrats get two-thirds of them, whether if it's 30 million, that's 20 million votes, potential votes. If it's 60 million, it's 40 million. Either number means the Democratic Party would most likely, highly likely, win in most districts, most states, if every one of those illegals gets citizenship. So they're not going to stop or do anything that would stop that flow of illegals into the country. And keep in mind why I've been talking about the U.S.-Mexican border. That's only about maybe half the problem, because you have people that come to the United States from around the world on legal visas and stay here. So you need to deal with both, and Donald Trump wants to build the big, beautiful wall or barrier to stop them. I support him, but I didn't vote for President Trump because why? I didn't trust him, and I didn't trust him on this specific issue. And I think in the next year, maybe even sooner, we'll know whether or not I was right or not, because I thought he was going to double crosses on this very, very issue. Oh, yes, there have been some miles of fence, wall, barrier built. A lot of it, though, is to replace existing fence. Keep that in mind. And remember, you really need to build, in my mind, at least 1,500 miles, additional miles, to the 350 we already have. So $5.7 billion, let's assume for a moment, and I don't think this is going to happen, but let's say the Democrats unilaterally surrender to Trump. They're not going to do it, but let's say they do. How many miles of border barrier will $5.7 billion build? Like I said, I think at most 300 miles. I'm not sneezing at 300 miles. Especially when we only have 350 miles now. That would be a big improvement. So I support Trump in asking for $5.7 billion to maybe build somewhere between 200 and 300 miles. That's a big start, and I applaud that. But it's clear that Democrats and Republicans are not going to give him $5.7 billion. So Donald Trump has to make a decision. What should he do? As far as I'm concerned, given spending is out of control, is close the government down, downsize it permanently. Except for people in Washington that work in the bureaucracy, most Americans have very little dealings with the federal government. And in the private sector, when the private sector goes into recession, what happens? People get laid off. It's about time to downsize and lay off federal employees. Permanently shut them down. You're not hearing that in big lie media. Permanently shut them down? Are you kidding? Oh, the poor people. Excuse me? We are spending and have, under Democrats and Republicans, hundreds of billions of dollars year in, year out, every single year, beyond the total tax collections of the United States government. Spending, federal government spending, is totally out of control, and neither Democrats or Republicans are really doing anything about it. They are financially irresponsible, and as long as you continue to vote for them, you're going to get the same results. That has been defined as insanity. Oh, yes, it is insanity. You're delusional if you think voting Democrat or Republican is going to get these problems solved. It hasn't. It doesn't matter if whether the Democratic Party controls the presidency, the House, and the Senate, or the Republican Party. Neither party could balance the budget to save their lives. They're both big spending, big government parties. That is irrefutable. That's what they're about. That's why many people, including me, have left both parties. They're sick and tired of the lies, the deceit, the deception, the distractions, and not dealing with the fundamental financial problems that this country faces and gonna really hurt a lot of American people. And then we have the radical extreme Democrats that want to make government even bigger. They're really socialists / communists that don't seem to understand that socialism, communism has failed wherever it's been tried. So they're using the government to steal your hard-earned money. That's what they're about. They're all for more and more taxes, more and more government spending, more and more debt. And that's the Democratic Party, and sad to say, that's also the Republican Party today. And they can't come up with $5.7 billion to build maybe 300 miles of additional barrier. Give me a break. They're spending over $4,000 billion this year, of which probably $900 billion. The only way they can pay those bills is to borrow it. Oh, it's a bad deal. I'm not president, but if I were president, I wouldn't sign it. I'd tell the Republican Party, you see, I'd do something different. I said, I want to build a complete border barrier that's an additional 1,500 miles. I want to do it in a year. It's probably going to cost $30 billion, and I want the money for it now because I said in a year. Any questions? That have heart attacks, strokes. The Republican Party they talk a good game. game, but they don't deliver results. That's why a lot of Republicans have said enough of the Republican Party. And they know the Democratic Party is worse. I know that. But eventually, you come to the conclusion voting for the lesser of two evils is still evil. And we get the exact mess we're in. No one is responsible. Actually, they're all responsible, including you and me. But don't encourage these people. Trump most likely is going to sign this. I don't think he has the, let us say, intestinal fortitude, guts, to tell the Republican Party and the whole establishment, no, shut it down. The American people, the majority of American people, would love for him to shut it down, and not temporarily, large segments of it permanently. Lay these people off. Your services are no longer required. We're in a financial crisis, and you're not essential. Find a job in the private sector. Wouldn't that be a refreshing message from a president? I want to let you know I've closed 8 federal departments today. And yes, why many of those people will retire with nice pension and benefits. Others that do not qualify for it will have to go into the private sector and find a job. Ladies and gentlemen, that happens to anyone in the private sector when this economy goes into a recession. Why is the federal government exempt from this? We're in a financial crisis. The United States government is broke, and we have politicians arguing about whether it's going to be $1.3 billion or $1.7 billion or $5.7 billion to build a wall to stop the invasion of this country by illegals that are breaking the law, as well as drugs and terrorists. I put the safety and the security of the American people first, and if that means laying off hundreds of thousands of federal employees, so be it. You need to have priorities, and the American people have been asking for this. Does building a barrier the perfect solution? No, it's not. I'll be the first to agree that a barrier cannot apprehend anybody, and people will defeat any barrier over time. The only reason we have some kind of fence, wall, barrier is to slow the people that are trying to break into the country, slow them down so using a road next to the fence, the U.S. Border Patrol can get there and apprehend them. So you need a fence, a barrier, wall. You need a road, and you need the U.S. Border Patrol and enough agents to stop them. We need to show the world that we're serious about that. I don't think we're anywhere near close to demonstrating that. We've had enough of this. The American people have had enough of this, and they're sick and tired of the lies of both Democrats and Republicans. Independents are 45 to 50% of the voters are independents. They've had enough of Democrats and Republicans. It's only a matter of time, but we don't have much time, before a new party is stood up and one or more of the existing political parties are voted out of office. Right now, I would vote most Democrats and Republicans out of office. They're not doing the will of the American people. Instead, they're more interested in getting power, keeping power, and then trying to control you and me. They're control freaks, folks. And that's what they're about. And I think they're way overestimating how popular they are with the public. Even the low number of 45%, they outnumber both Democrats and Republicans. The problem is they don't have a party and they don't have candidates to vote for. That's why most of them stay home. And even the ones that come out are not happy with their choices. Takes time, but it's going to hit the wall because interest on the debt goes up, up, and up. And it'll start to squeeze out all the other budget items, which means they're going to be forced to close and significantly cut back all federal departments. We're in financial trouble, and the national debt is just one indication of it. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that the more important number is unfunded liabilities / obligations, primarily for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the pensions of, yes, government employees. That number is 10 times $22 trillion. It's over $220 trillion. Actually, it's much higher than that. Right now, there's no way we'll ever pay the national debt off and forget about the unfunded liabilities and obligations. We're broke, folks. We're bankrupt. And we have leadership that are cowards and won't tell the American people the truth. Instead, you have a group of senators or former senators, Democrats mostly, but we have some Republican governors as well. They all think it's going to be easy to defeat Trump in 2020? I don't think so. If Trump can build his big, beautiful wall, or at least a significant portion of it by 2020, he's going to win hands down. Because the only reason he's truly president today is because of this issue. So Donald Trump has to really make a tough call. I would tell Mitch McConnell, sorry, I want $5.7 billion, and if I don't get it, I'm going to not sign the bill, period. And if you keep it up, I'm going to ask for $30 billion in 1 year, and we'll complete the entire barrier in 1 year. Now, you need votes. After saying that, might make you feel good. You need votes. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the problem is the political establishment, the leadership of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They play footsie under the table with each other. And that's why we have a deficit of $22 trillion and unfunded liabilities of over $220 trillion. It's exactly the results you get with two big government parties that are financially or fiscally irresponsible. They are. I wouldn't vote for any of them. Oh, yes, there are a few good ones, but out of 435 representatives and 100 senators, that's a total of 535 representatives, there's less than 75 that are truly financially responsible, that truly believe in a free enterprise, competitive market capitalist system. What you get is what we have, a warfare and welfare state. Really, starting with Hoover, going Roosevelt, right through all the presidents. Does it surprise me? No. The only thing that surprises me, we lasted this long. We're not going to last that much longer. We're in for a series of serious financial crises. Yet we have, I'm looking at the picture now, most of them don't understand how serious this is, and they just want bigger and bigger government. They think the answer is have the government run anything, run everything. Really? Really? Are you that clueless? The answer is they are. Most of these people are lightweights. I mean intellectual lightweights. Oh, they're good talkers. They're articulate. Some of them are physically attractive. But none of them could run a big business. Forget about the United States government. And yes, most of them are attorneys. Now, there's some good attorneys, but I look at this crowd and I go, wow, this is not the best and brightest. Clueless is the word that jumps out at me. And they think, first of all, they're going to beat Trump and they should win. God save America if any of these, I call them the dirty dozen, they're actually upwards of three dozen. Oh, yeah, there are a few clueless Republicans that think they're going to take on Trump. Well, be my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican because I don't believe in political suicide. And these people, especially in the Democrats, I call them the radical extremist Democrats, the Reds. They're socialist communists. They like to say, I'm a progressive. Well, who used to, if you look back in history, who used to say, I'm a progressive? Oh, members of the Communist Party used to say that. These are socialist communists that are out of the closet, and they have the Green New Deal. That's a laugh. But they're serious. They believe this nonsense. They have no understanding how economies work. They really have no understanding of economic incentives. These are talkers. These are BSers. They're not persuasive at all. And all of them are either already announced. I think we have 8 announced candidates. I think we have another at least 8 more that are in one stage or other. I think there'll probably be maybe as many as 24 running for the Democratic Party nomination. And why are they doing it? They think they can beat Donald Trump. Good luck with that. Now, I don't think Donald Trump is unbeatable. Oh, I think I know how to beat him. But these clowns don't know. And yes, many of them, unfortunately, are clowns. I have very little respect for them. If anything, I think the word I would use to describe them is dangerous, especially if any of them get power. And don't forget Hillary Clinton. I haven't mentioned her. She might be back. She should be in prison, but she might be back. So much for the rule of law and enforcing the laws. So we're waiting for Donald Trump to make up his mind. My recommendation is you veto it, send them back to the drawing board, shut the government down, and start laying off these people. Show, Mr. President, show them you're for real. You understand the financial situation, and to the extent you can do it legally, start downsizing every single department, every agency in the federal government. And yes, complete a 1,500-mile barrier. Oh, it can be done in a year. You just need maybe $30 billion. $2 maybe less. Remember, it's not just for the barrier. You need that road. See, a barrier doesn't work if the U.S. Border Patrol cannot get to the point in the barrier where people are breaking in. This is common sense. You don't have to be a genius to understand it. Doesn't mean you have to be there immediately, because a lot of this border is in the middle of nowhere in the desert. And yes, people die every year in the desert trying to break into the United States. Most of the unfenced area is along the U.S.-Mexican-Texas border. And you can see a map where the fences are, both vehicle fences, which I don't really count. Now, I would count on it if you put a human barrier right next to them, either side of them. I don't really care. And I suspect that's what Trump is doing. I've seen a lot of pictures. I've read articles. People are reporting on this. The easiest thing to do is, because you already have the vehicle barriers, you just put up a fence that would stop human beings. So that would take 350 miles of fence and increase it by 300 miles. In other words, you'd have 650. And usually what they do is they cherry pick here. The easiest thing that they can do is do it on government land where they control it. But the biggest problem is the U.S. Mexican-Texas border that runs along the Rio Grande. Because you have landowners, property owners, and I see both sides of this, that have been there for generations. And when you put a fence up, the problem is, you see, the United States has a treaty with Mexico that along the Rio Grande, the floodplains, because the Rio Grande does flood, you can't put a barrier. Well, I would, first of all, renegotiate that treaty, but more importantly, put the barrier as close to the river as you can. Because the problem with the existing situation, because of that floodplain provision in the treaty, in many areas, you have to put the border barrier far from the river, and that means farmers, ranchers, to the extent that if you build along there and have the right to do it, part of their property would be on the other side of the barrier, closest to Mexico. But again, you need to look at the general welfare of the United States. What are we talking about here? And you always get back to this. We're talking about the safety and security of the American people, protecting their jobs, protecting against the drug cartels that are shipping tons of narcotics into the country. Because immigration, the illegal immigration problem, is fundamentally a jobs issue first, but it's also a drug issue, a crime issue, and yes, a national security issue. And I think that overrides the situation with property owners along the U.S.-Mexican border. They, in a certain extent, are going to get hurt. Now, they can be compensated, and Donald Trump would use eminent domain to do it, but it takes years. That's why I think he should declare a national emergency and get it done. Make this as his Manhattan Project and get the wall done in a year or less. Should have been done, really, about 32 years ago, when Ronald Reagan agreed with the Democrats to give citizenship to all the illegals that were here. They had to meet certain requirements, but nearly 3 million, 2.7 million, got citizenship. Well, that's exactly what the Democrats are trying to do today, and they don't want that wall completed. We'll see. By Friday, President Trump is going to have to make a decision. I don't know which way he's going to go. He has to keep his supporters. The only way I see President Trump keeping his supporters is building a significant portion of that border barrier. In my mind, that's at least 1,000 miles of the 1,500-mile unfenced, unbarrier border that we have now. Will he do it? I don't know. But if he gets only a couple of billion, that's not enough. My rule of thumb is $2 billion builds 100 miles. And so multiply $2 billion by 15, that's how you get $30 billion. Can you do it for less? Of course. You can always do it for less. What you want is a long-lasting barrier. Long-lasting, I'm talking hundreds of years. Not something that can be easily knocked down, fall down. Do it right the first time. And that takes money. And I know some of you are saying, well, that's a lot of money. We could spend the money fill in the blank. Yeah. We're already spending over $100 billion on illegal aliens that frankly shouldn't be here. So this is money well spent. You know it. If you're in any community, and I am, Dallas, Texas, where illegals are in great numbers, you know they're going to your schools, your community hospitals, and they're in your jails and prisons. Stop it. That's why the American people are outraged. That's why the American people are upset with Democrats and Republicans for not listening to them. We elect you, and you don't do what we want. Now, the problem is they don't have any choice, because unfortunately, the elites, the political elites, don't want this fence, barrier, wall built. They want the status status quo. They want cheap, illegal alien labor to continue to come in and eventually reward all of them with citizenship. Well, the American people don't want that. They're screaming, hollering, they're mad. They resent the political class not listening to them, not being concerned about their own welfare. That's why when President Trump has a rally, for example, he did have a rally in El Paso, what happened? A lot of people came out. So I'm going to play a little bit of that rally so you get an idea of what Trump is saying. Now, I like to do this, and I'll probably interrupt it to make comments as he talks. So this is President Trump live in El Paso last night around 8 o'clock.
Explain that. How do you get that when you don't get good press? I guess 93% of the stories are negative. No matter what we do, they figure out a way to make it negative.
He's right. He's got nothing but negative
press. I'll give you a quick example. When I came in, North Korea looks like it was going to war. You know that. It was going to happen. Bad things. Now, you have no missile launches. You have no rocket testing. You have no nuclear testing. I have a good relationship, maybe even a great relationship. We have tremendous sanctions on North Korea. But we have our hostages back. We have remains are coming back. The remains. And our presidents have been dealing with North Korea for many, many decades. Many, many decades. And on a nuclear way over the last 20, 30 years. And all I hear is, can't you move faster? You know what? I left Singapore 15 months ago. They've been negotiating for 85 years or something. So now their complaint is, what's taking them so long? I heard one of our great geniuses from a previous administration telling me how to negotiate with North Korea when they got taken advantage of like nobody I've ever seen before. So someday, with all of us, this is all of us, and those hats are beautiful, by the way, someday...
Now, I want to say something, and if you're regulars on the show, I think you know where I'm going to go. The only reason North Korea has nuclear weapons and missiles that can deliver is because of communist China. North Korea is a backward country, but the financial resources, the scientific knowledge, technology to build these missiles and nuclear bombs that can go on these missiles comes from communist China. Donald Trump knows that. So unless the communist Chinese, and they really are the only ones that have the ability to put pressure, real pressure, on North Korea, make it very, very clear the North Koreans have to stop building nuclear weapons and stop testing, and I mean dismantle their program, and it needs to be verified. Unless that happens, what Donald Trump should tell the communist Chinese, we're negotiating with them in trade, is if that doesn't happen, and we can clearly verify that it has happened, no communist goods or services are coming into the United States. Now, that's a tough negotiation stand. That gets their attention. Why? What are the Communist Party of China scared of? They're an authoritarian state. They suppress dissent. You wouldn't want to live there, work there, or quite frankly, visit. They're afraid of a revolution to overthrow the Communist Party. And if you have tens of millions of Chinese out on the street because they no longer can send goods to the United States, what happens? The Communist Chinese, together with the North Koreans, better get real, or they're going to have a crisis on their hands. And I would make sure that our allies followed us. That's leadership. That's really getting tough. But that's the only way you're going to get any agreement, first with the North Koreans, and second with the Communist Chinese. We've been played for suckers for too long under leadership of both Democratic presidents and Republican presidents. We've been taken advantage of. We were the saps. But you have to really negotiate. And you have to link issues. Now, I hope it's being done. I don't know if it's being done. But in my mind, that's the only way you're going to get North Korea to disarm, in other words, get rid of their nuclear weapons and their long-range ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. They're not going to want to do it. But the only reason North Korea has not have a revolution is because communist China has supported it. They're the number one ally in North Korea. It's no secret here. You got to get serious. And this is serious business. And President Trump is right. If we went to war, we're talking tens of millions of people dying on both sides. That's the alternative, a war. And we have our allies, Japan, South Korea, Philippines, and others in the area. You see, the only thing authoritarians, totalitarians understand is force. And the willingness of the opposition to, if necessary, apply that force. They have way more to lose than the United States does. Because we can get our goods from alternative countries around the world. And they would, I won't say die, but they would really love to replace China as a source of our imported cheap consumer goods. And I think the communist Chinese understand that. They understand power. They understand real politics. And they understand they are the reason North Korea is in the position it is now. They need to dramatically change their policy to North Korea to save them from a revolution from the people that are working in China that are not going to be put on the street, tens of millions of them, because they no longer have countries to export, starting with the United States and its allies. But that's what needs to be done. And only President Trump, quite frankly, has shown any vision, sense of that's how you have to do it. We've had, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, a bunch of appeasers, as far as I'm concerned. We need appeasers. And that's put us in this very bad situation. Let's continue with President Trump.
True. Someday, they're going to appreciate us all, and I'm going to Vietnam, to Hanoi in the near future, 27th and 28th of February, to have another summit. And hopefully we do as well with the second summit as we did with the first. I hope so. Now, we're delighted, and I'm delighted, to be joined this evening by the Texas leaders. You have great leaders, great people, great help to me, that are at the forefront of this incredible American revolution. You know, there's never been anything like this in the history of our country. We have to understand that. There's never been. If you would say, as an example, that tonight 69,000 people signed up to be here. Now, the arena holds 8,000. And thank you, Fire Department. They got in about 10. Thank you, Fire Department. Appreciate it. But if you want to really see something, go outside. Tens of thousands of people are watching screens outside. And we were all challenged by a young man who lost an election to Ted Cruz. And then they said, you know what? Hey, you're supposed to win in order to run. By the way, I'm 1-1. I'm 1-1. Think of it. We had one election. We won. Now we're going to be 2-0, and everything's going to be perfect. But a young man who's got very little going for himself, except he's got a great first name. He challenged us. So we have, let's say, 35,000 people tonight, and he has 200 people, 300 people, not too good. In fact, what I would do is I would say that may be the end of his presidential bid, but he did challenge it. So I want to introduce some great people. Your governor, Greg Abbott. Greg. Where is he? Where is Greg? Thank you, Greg. And a great governor and a great friend of mine. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Thanks, Dan. Thank you, Dan. Look at him in the corner. So shy. Thank you, Dan. Great job, Dan. Attorney General Ken Paxton. Thanks, Ken. And Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller. Thank you.
Well, it looks like President Trump is not losing the support of the people that voted for him. Now, I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton either. I stayed home. I don't think he's losing support. If anything, I think he's gaining support. Not only for those that have already voted for him, but others that are surprisingly impressed with the results. Now, it's not 100%. There are issues that I know he hasn't dealt with. One being, we haven't had any balanced budgets. Hasn't talked about that. Probably will never talk about that. Truly, if he could balance the U.S. federal budget in 4 years, I'd even give him 6 years, that would be impressive. But I don't think that's going to happen because both parties today are out of control in the spending area. It's not only tax and spend, it's now tax, spend, borrow, 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 like it's no tomorrow. So if the effort of Big Lie Media is try to put a wedge between him and his supporters, I don't think it's working. And the fact that his approval rating has slightly gone up, I think it has a long way to go. But if he should hit 60% or more, I think he's unbeatable. The one thing he has to watch out for is a recession. The one thing that could put the 2020 election in danger for President Trump is that he doesn't get the economic growth that he expects from his tax cut. And see, the mistake was he thought, as some Republicans did, that he could come back for a second bite at the apple. But what happened? The Democrats control the House now. So he's not going to get a second chance to cut taxes or fundamentally reform taxes. Had he truly had a comprehensive tax bill that moved us away from an income tax system, in other words, fully replaced our existing tax system and changed it to one based on consumption, I think he would be a shoo-in in 2020. And we would be seeing the economic results and the people would flock to him. I think, like I said, I think he would be unbeatable. I think he would have a landslide. But he didn't do it. He didn't have the vision. And he certainly didn't have the backing of the Republican Party. You can forget about the Democratic Party. I remember in the first year, many Republicans in the House and the Senate thought he was guilty, that he was colluding with the Russians. That's how out of touch some of these people are. I never thought that was true. And I had an open mind. If they had the proof, lay it out. They haven't come up with anything. Now, whether Robert S. Mueller III is going to have a report or not, I don't think the American people care by now, for the simple reason there's been no evidence produced that either President Trump or his campaign colluded with Russians. But if you believe Big Lie Media, if you believe the Democratic Party, he was in bed with them. No proof. It was a big lie. That's why I call them Big Lie Media. And it started and was paid for by Hillary Clinton. And it was really a cover-up of what Democrats in the Obama administration, including Obama and his closest advisors, were doing to smear Donald Trump. They came up empty. It didn't work. It's a total fabrication. And many people should be prosecuted and, if found guilty, sent to jail. I know many of them have been fired or retired, but the Mueller investigation was the cover-up of what I call the Clinton-Obama-Democrat criminal conspiracy. And that's where I'm somewhat disappointed in Trump. No one should be above the rule of law, including those that have power, especially those that have power in any administration. And that includes the Obama administration. They broke the law by using the resources of the United States government to plot against the election of Donald Trump, using various department and agencies to do so. And it was paid for by the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign, and aided and abetted by Barack Obama and many of his closest advisors, as well as heads of, for example, the Central Intelligence Agency and others. Nothing has happened, really. Oh, there are plenty of Democrats that were in the administration that should be prosecuted and should really be found guilty and should be going to jail. I'm waiting for that shoe to drop. For whatever reason, Donald Trump won't go after them. And that's a mistake. They'll go after him, but for whatever reason, he's failed to go after them. He needs to change. He needs to learn. I think that's a serious mistake, and he should learn from it. Now, what else? Well, I've noticed they've changed the slogan from build the wall to finish the wall. They also have another slogan, promises made, promises kept. Well, if he finishes the wall, that will be a big promise kept. And in my mind, he doesn't have much time. I really think he has to demonstrate that he significantly added to that border barrier by at least 1,000 miles. And when he's running for president, in round numbers, that's what he said. We need an additional 1,000 miles. Well, Mr. President, I'm holding you at your word. Show me the additional 1,000 miles. Not existing fence, and there's really only 350 miles of it. I'm talking new border barriers that have been built in your administration. And if you can demonstrate that that's 1,000 miles, and you should if you've accomplished it, or whenever you do, I think you'll be reelected in a landslide. But if you don't, what are the Democrats going to do? Well, he promised you a wall, and we made sure he didn't deliver it. In other words, he didn't keep his promise. You can't trust him. You see, that's what I said. Even though I thought he could win, because he had the best position, especially on illegal immigration, I thought he was going to double crosses because, like many of the Republicans that are in the leadership, they double crossed us, former Republicans. Oh, they talk a good game. Oh, yeah, we're going to secure the borders. We're going to build over 750 miles. Never happened. Didn't even come close. You have 350 miles of fence that stop who? Human beings, and another 300 miles that stop vehicles. But the problem with the vehicle barriers, almost anyone, can either go around them, over them, or under them. They're designed to stop vehicles. They're not designed to stop humans. So I wish Donald Trump luck, because if he delivers on that promise, he will get a second term. And I will also say I think Mike Pence would be an excellent third term for President Trump. But he has to deliver on this, and he has to make a rather I don't think it's a tough decision. They're not giving you the money. Veto the bill. Keep the government closed. Why? It focuses the attention of the American people as to why you're keeping it closed. Because we have the invasion that over 33 years has resulted in at least 30 million, if not 60 million, illegal aliens living, working in the United States, taking jobs that American citizens, American workers should have. You need to get tough. You need to call it the way it is and hang it around the necks of these Reds, radical extreme Democrats. You see, they want to give citizenship to anybody that can get to the United States. And all the illegals that are here, they want to reward their illegal behavior by giving them citizenship. That doesn't make sense, because that only encourages more and more people. So you can see they don't really care about the American people anymore. They care more about keeping in power, and they think the way to get power is to give all the illegals citizenship. Well, I beg to differ. I want immigration law enforced to the maximum. If you're here illegally, please go home. And if you're the president of the United States, enforce immigration law. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. The law says you deport and remove them from this country. Do your job. You swore an oath to do your job. To obey the Constitution, well, do it. Well, we have a group of Democrats that want to, first of all, have open borders. In other words, not enforce the law. And they want to do away with immigration customs enforcement, the policemen, if you will. And you saw how ridiculous they are. They wanted to eliminated the number of beds of people we arrested. And if it went above, I think, roughly 16,000, we had to release them. Felons. These people are arrogant and really out of touch with the American people. American people don't want that. Are they that oblivious? You see, they're arrogant. They think they're going to win. That's why you have so many of them. Vote for me. Vote for me. I wouldn't vote. There might be one, but there's virtually most of them you'd be a fool to vote for. I'm amazed some of them are senators, quite frankly. And make him president? If you want to destroy this country, do it. But you see, the Democratic Party does, because they've given up on the American people. That's why they're trying to import voters that by our laws are illegal aliens that break into the country and commit crimes. It's a crime to break in. It's a crime to get documents. It's a crime to work here. And yes, the employers that employ these people are committing crimes. They're a crime wave. And it's been going on for 33 years. It's time to end this. Will Donald Trump do it? I don't know. I really don't. He should veto or not sign any bill that doesn't give him the money that he truly needs. And that's at least 5.7. See, I'm suspicious of that number, because why aren't you asking for a lot more? Not necessarily 30 million, but enough that you could build hundreds of miles of the barrier. That's why I have a big question mark over the head of Donald Trump. Good talker, persuasive. I think he means well. And yes, he's fighting the Democratic Party, the bureaucracy, the so-called deep state, and the Republican Party, and big lie media, and the people that own the country, that give the big donations. For one man to do that is not easy. That's why I respect them. I might not like him, I might not trust him, but I respect him because he's getting results. He surprised a lot of people, including me. But you have to deliver on your number one campaign promise to build that big, beautiful wall, and that's 1,000 miles of it. And you have to get it done before Election Day of next year. You don't have much time. And it was a big miscalculation to think that you're going to control the House and the Senate for 4 years. Seldom does that happen. And many of the Republicans that ostensibly are on your side never were, and many of them never will be, because you put the lie to the establishment by getting results. Now, as far as the, there are a lot of Democrats. There's at least 8 that are announced. You have 2 that have exploratory committees. That's 10. And you have another 19, maybe 20, they're going to add. So it looks like you're going to have at least 24, maybe 36 Democrats running for president. I'm not impressed with any of them. It's more the same, bigger and bigger government. And I think any Republican that's foolish enough to run against them is going to get their head handed to them. And maybe they should get their head handed to them. So you can celebrate tonight that your big government parties have finally succeeded in getting the national debt over $22 trillion, unfunded liabilities over $220 trillion, and they're doing next to nothing to bring government spending under control. If anything, they want to make it worse. You're supposed to learn from your mistakes. Neither party has learned from their mistakes. They're repeating their mistakes. So if you continue to vote Democrat, Republican, you're going to get the status quo, and the United States is in for a serious financial situation beyond a recession and several financial crises. Ladies and gentlemen, we're broke, we're bankrupt, and we don't have leaders that even understand it and know what to do about it. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.